We're kicking off a big campaign, 40 Days of Prayer, and it's a spiritual growth campaign. And we've tried to do a spiritual growth campaign every year. We did 40 Days in the Word a few back years ago. We did 1 month to live. Last year, we did a big series of What on Earth Am I Here For? And we want to focus at Silver Creek intensely on spiritual growth. And I want to tell you why. Why do we focus on spiritual growth? This is what I want you to know about the basis of this whole series. Most problems in your life come from spiritual immaturity. You're thinking, who, me? Yeah. When we're not spiritually mature, you know what happens? We make dumb decisions. And oftentimes when we're not spiritually mature, the decisions we make are based mostly on our emotions. And how many of you know emotions are not a good way to make most decisions? The problems with emotions, they can often be wrong. How you feel about things can often be wrong. You can just be manipulated by your moods. Have you discovered that in life? That sometimes you don't even know why you feel like you feel. It's based completely on, you know, what's going on inside. Mature people make decisions based on truth, not based upon feelings. So many problems in the world happen because people just are not mature. They don't know what the Bible says. And so they do stuff based on immaturity. My grandson, Keegan, 2 years old, he does a lot of cute things. We cheer for him and root for him to do those cute things. But you know what? If Kurt was doing the same things, they wouldn't be cute at all. Because immaturity is good for babies, but it's not good for us when we grow up. You know, did you know that it's possible to grow old and never grow up? I mean, I know a lot of old people that have just never grown up. And they're spiritually and they're emotionally immature. You know, they grew old, but they didn't grow up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, we're not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every wind of teaching. And what that means is when you're immature, you'll just fall for anything. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up, circle that in your note sheet, grow up in every way into Christ. We are meant to grow up into Christ. Jesus is the ultimate picture of maturity. To think like Christ, to act like Christ, to respond like Christ will be better for your life. Before we actually get into this subject of prayer, because we're going to spend the next 6 weeks on that, I want you to really understand why. Why are we looking at this whole idea of prayer? And just as in creation, there are some physical laws that can't be violated, there are spiritual laws that can't be violated as well. So, like physical laws, you're familiar with many of them. For example, the law of gravity. The thing I love the most about gravity, it's dependable. You know, when my toast pops up out of the toaster, it doesn't just keep shooting right up to the ceiling. And when I pour my coffee, it doesn't just go floating across the room. Gravity makes it go into my cup. It always does. When I turn on the kitchen faucet, the water droplets don't just go everywhere. When I trip and fall, I don't just go sailing off into the stratosphere like a balloon. Gravity is fundamental. It's a law of nature. And gravity does its thing every day, every time. It's predictable. You know, scientists wonder sometimes what would happen if gravity took a day off. They don't all agree about what would happen, but one thing they do agree on, it'd be very unpleasant. I mean, most scientists say that our Earth, the atmosphere would be sucked right out into the vacuum of space. Everything that's not anchored to the Earth's surface would just float off, including the ocean, which would start to boil and would just, in the lack of atmospheric pressure, it would just boil off into the stratosphere. And to add insult to injury, the molten core of the Earth would begin to just bubble up onto the face of the planet. It'd destroy everything. And also, you'd be dead. So there's that. There are physical laws that God invented for the well-being of the universe, and there are spiritual laws that God invented for the well-being of your life. So if you want to grow, and I'm assuming as a Christian, as a person who's growing in their faith, you want to grow, then there are some things that you need to know. And I'm going to ask you to write some of these things down today. The first thing, if you want to grow, we grow when we feed ourselves on God's Word. The Bible is food for your soul. Now, I just wonder, if you would think about this for a moment, what kind of health would you have if every Sunday, like right after church, you went and you ate this gigantic brunch? I mean, you just gorged yourself with all of the rich food, but then for the rest of the week, you didn't eat anything at all. You think that'd be a very healthy way to live? No, that'd be very unhealthy. It'd harm your health. And actually, the same way with your spiritual life. If all of you get, if all of God's word that you get is that you come here on Sunday, you listen for an hour, but that you go the rest of the week and you're not in God's word at all, it's not a very healthy way to live spiritually. Write this down in your notes. Sunday is not enough. Sunday's not enough. You got to eat a little bit every day. You got to feed your soul a little bit every day, not just once a week at church. You're going to have strength in your life to do the things that God wants you to do and that you actually want to do. And so you got to feed yourself in God's word a little bit every day. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on the word of God. And that's what God wants you to do. And that's what we're going to try to do in this program, a little bit every day. We want to develop a habit, 5, 10, 15 minutes a day, where we are reading God's word and we're praying and we're in fellowship with God. Acts 20, verse 32 says, the word of grace is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. How many of you want all the blessings that God has for his people? Yeah, what's wrong with the rest of you? I mean, come on. I want all the blessings. Of course you do. So how do you get all the blessings that God has for you? He says right here, the word of grace will build you up. When you get maturity, then God will give you all the blessings that he has for you. There are some gifts that you just can't give a baby. Keegan's learning how to eat by himself, but we don't give him a steak knife yet. Why? He's not mature enough to handle it. And there are some things that God wants to give you that you are not mature enough to handle yet. And so you got to feed yourself on God's word. He wants you to grow up. The word of grace will build you up. And then it goes on. And then give you all the blessing that God has for his people. Man, that's what I want. I want all the blessing. So how do you feed on the word of God? Here's the action step. I'm going to give you a couple of action steps today. The action step is a daily time with God. 5, 10, 15 minutes. Whatever you've got. It's not so much about the amount of time, it's that you do take time to be with God. The second thing you need to know if you want to grow, write this down. We grow when we learn in different ways. Now let me explain this. God made us all different. You can just look around the room and see that. God made us all different. We're all unique. There's nobody else in the world like you. No, never will be, never can be. Even identical twins. Even Tim and Tom have differences. They're not exactly the same. But everyone has a unique voice print, a unique eye print, a unique thumb print, a footprint. You have a unique heartbeat. There's a lot of things about you that are unique, and each of us have unique learning styles. You learn differently than the person sitting right next to you. So if you're going to grow, for one thing, you need to know what your learning style is. Luke 3:18 says this about John the Baptist, who was, you know, just a famous preacher, a forerunner to Jesus, and it says, in many different ways, John preached the good news to the people. Now, why do you think he used many different ways? Why do you think he used many different teaching styles? Well, the reason is because we all learn in different ways. So over the next 40 days, in this 40 days of prayer, we're going to engage in several different learning styles. Now, some of you are auditory learners, and you learn by listening. You hear it, and you get it. And all I have to do is tell it to you and you get it. You learn through the ear. If you're an auditory learner, then you love church. Because that's mainly what we do. We come and you hear what's being said and you sit still while the teacher instills. That's kind of what auditory learning does. Everything that you are learning, hearing right now, you're taking in through the ear gate. And that's good. But there are a couple problems with it. And one big problem with auditory learning is we forget what we hear. That's why we give you note sheets to write some of it down on. You write it down. The second problem about it is not everybody's an auditory learner. Some people say, I don't really like to listen, but I do like to read. I do like to watch. So we have people that are visual learners. They say, don't tell it to me, show it to me. And so those people see things not through the ear gate, but through the eye gate. And then there are others of you that are actually oral learners, and you actually learn by talking. You learn through the mouth. And if you're an oral learner, you're going to love small groups. Why? Because that's where you get to talk. That's where. So if you're an oral learner, you get to talk and you'll learn. You can't talk in a big crowd like this, but when you get in a small group, if you're an oral learner, that's when your mind begins to kick in, when you start to talk. Then there's another group of people that say, I don't like to listen, and I don't like to read, and I don't like to talk, and we call that group men. The reality is, a lot of men, a lot of guys are hands-on learners. They actually learn more by carrying out physical activities rather than by listening to a lecture or watching a demonstration. They actually learn by doing it. I mean, how do you learn to play football? Do you read a book about football? You know, do you take a course on football? No, you go out and start throwing the ball around. How do you learn to golf? Does someone say, I've got this great instructional video to watch? No, you go out and you knock a few balls around. And so during the next 40 days, we're going to teach you about prayer, and we're going to teach it in a lot of different ways. We're going to teach it through the ear. You're going to have 6 messages. We're going to learn it through the eye. We're going to have 6 videos if you're in a small group to watch. Then you're going to learn through the mouth because you're going to discuss what you're hearing in small groups. And then you're going to do some projects, so you're going to do it hands-on. If all you do for the next 6 weeks is come listen to the sermons, you're not going to get near as much out of this campaign because only about 10% of what we're going to learn is going to come from the preaching messages. So that's where you're going to learn all these things. Now the next thing, point 3, the way that we grow when we develop good spiritual habits. I can't overestimate the importance of building good habits in your life. And this is what you need to know. Your habits determine what you are, and what you are determines where you go in life. Your character is really the sum total of your habits. You can't say, I'm a kind person, unless you're habitually kind. If you're only kind 25% of the time, then you're not a kind person. If you say, I have integrity, I'm honest, but you're only honest 25% of the time, then you're not honest. It has to be a habit. Integrity means you're habitually honest. If I were to say to Kathy, honey, I love you, and I'll be faithful to you 28 days a month, how do you think that'd go? No, partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. I cannot say I'm a faithful husband if I'm just faithful most of the time. No, it has to be habitual. It has to be a habit in my life. I have to always be faithful to be a faithful husband. And so there are a lot of habits that we need to grow in our spiritual life. We talked about some of the very basic ones in class 201, which we did yesterday. But that's the place where we talk about developing good habits. Our next 201 class is May 12th, and it'd be great for you to come to that. If you went to 101, to show up and be at 201. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But Jesus says this, John 13, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you what? Say it out loud with me. You'll be blessed if you what? Practice them. Circle that. Star it. If you practice them, if you do them, see, you don't get God's blessing by knowing the right thing to do. You get God's blessing by doing the right thing. And the way you build any habit in your life is through repetition and through practice. Why are we doing this for 6 weeks? Because people tell us that know these things and study these things. It takes about 3 weeks to get kind of breaking through the regular life routine, and then another 3 weeks to make it a regular habit. And we want to try to develop those habits. What happens when you practice good spiritual habits is you begin to grow. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for mature people. I mean, you know what he's talking about here. Babies eat baby food. Babies eat Pablum. It's like Gerber yuck. And when you're mature, you get to eat steak. A baby can't eat steak. Why? They're not mature enough to eat a steak. So he says this, solid food is for mature people whose minds, notice this, whose minds have been trained by practice. That's called a habit. Whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. One of the reasons that people have so many problems in their life is they often make bad decisions because they don't know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. Do I do this or do I do that? Is this the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? Is that good? Is that evil? How do you make wise decisions? Well, friends, you got to become spiritually mature. That's how you begin to discern what's right, what's wrong. You do it over and over again. You repeat it. You practice it. Solid food for the mature whose mind has been trained by practice. You know, the Olympics started this week. And those athletes are so tremendously skilled. Nobody, not a single one of them got up in the morning one day and just said, I think I'll be an Olympian. No, they train themselves. They discipline themselves. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, all good athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last. But we practice to win a prize that will last forever. See, I think we got this wrong idea about what makes people successful. Successful people are just normal people who decide to develop good habits. And then they keep them in place for the rest of their life. You determine your habits, and then your habits determine you. Did you know that? You determine your habits. And there's a lot of habits that we could teach you. You know, the Bible's full of good habits, but during this 40 days of prayer, we're going to focus on just four. The habit of weekly large group worship, the thing that we're doing right now. The habit of small group fellowship. The habit of a daily time with God where you pray a little bit and you talk a little bit to God and you read your Bible, you let God talk to you. And fourth, the habit of memorizing God's Word. Now, these are four things that will change your life. Now, let's start large group worship and small group fellowship. Where did we get that idea? Well, we got it from the Bible. Let me show you. Look up here at the verse that's in your notes, Acts 2, 46 and verse 47. Every day the believers had the habit, notice that word, of meeting together, not just church on Sundays, different group meetings during the week. Every day the believers had the habit of meeting together in the temple courts and also in homes. So they met large group, they met small group, and you know, there are things that we can do here that we can't do in small groups. I think it's a lot easier to worship in a big group. I mean, I love it when our worship team comes up and leads us. What a powerful time we had today. Hey, and Connor played the guitar for the first time today in the band. It's great. There are things that we can do here in a large group, but then there are some things that you can do in a small group that are pretty hard to do in a large group where we personally share what's going on in our life. So we have large group worship, small group fellowship, and in the small group, it says they ate together and they celebrated with happy and thankful hearts. You know what they're doing in the small group? They're partying. That's what, when they eat together and celebrate with happy and thankful hearts, that's partying. They praise God and the whole community like what they saw in these people. So it's not talking about church because the whole community has no idea what we're doing here today. But the whole community could see that in these homes, stuff was going on. And they liked what they saw. And it says, as a result, the Lord added to their groups daily as their neighbors were being saved. You know, I would really like that verse to be true about Silver Creek Fellowship. I'd like people to be able to say, look at those people. I mean, they seem to have the exact same problems I do, but look at how they respond. I mean, they're not blown around by their emotions. They're not manipulated by their moods. They're not driven just by their feelings. They go through the same stuff I go through, but they seem less stressed. They seem more stable. And so what they say is, maybe I'll check out what they're doing. The church grows when the community sees what God's doing in the life of his people. So to be a strong believer, the first two habits we need to develop is to be in large group worship and to be in small group fellowship. And then there's two other habits, a daily time alone with God, where we read the Bible a little and pray and memorize God's word. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if you say yes to this. How many of you, when you come to the end of your life, would like people to say about you, she lived, he lived a successful life? How many of you would like people to say that about you? I mean, hopefully all of you, because I don't want any of you to be a failure. I don't want anyone to say about what a loser they were, what a failure they were. You know, as your pastor, my job is to help you succeed. My job is to help you succeed in every area of your life, in your finances, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your career. I want to see you successful in your health. I want you to be successful in every area of your life. Is that all right with you? Yeah, because that's what I want. And in the Bible, there's one place where God promises and guarantees success. Would you be interested in a verse like that? Where God promises and guarantees success? Well, here it is, Joshua 1:8. Here's what God says is the key to prosperity. Always remember what is written in this book. And he's talking about the Bible. Read it and think about it. He says, remember what's written, read it, think about it, memorize some Bible verses, and every day, and be sure to obey everything that's written in it, which is applying it. If you do this, you will be prosperous and successful in your life. Okay? You think God's lying about this? Think God's just teasing you? Like this is a marketing scheme that God's got? No, God says, do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be successful? Do you want your life to go well in business, in relationship, in every area? Then read on, reflect on, remember God's word. You need to do all these things that we've been talking about, these habits. The fourth thing that you want to do, that you need to do if you want to grow, is we grow when we help each other grow. You know, you can't grow to be spiritually mature by yourself. It's just not going to happen. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. No way, Jose. It will not happen. You can't grow to be the person God wants you to be by yourself. You need me. I need you. We need each other. God wired it so that nobody grows to maturity by themselves. So the more that you're involved with other people who are strong in the Lord in their life, we grow together. It's relational. Spiritual growth is relational. You know, we're better together. A few years ago, we had a prophetic word in the church that we can do more together than we can apart. We're better together. Romans 1:12 says, and Paul writes, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. So you have to have other people in your life. God wired us this way. How many times have I talked to you about all the one another's that are in the Bible? 56 or 58 commands you can't do unless you're connected with other people. So let me encourage you. Get involved with other people. Get in a small group. In that place, you can be an encouragement to one another. The Bible says that we need each other. The Bible says we can't say, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And the body of Christ, one part can't say, I don't need anybody else. You have to be connected to the body of Christ in order to grow. And you know what? That's just about the exact opposite of what every other faith teaches. Every other faith says the holiest, most righteous person is the person that isolates themselves from dirty, rotten humanity. They just get away from it all. They go live in a cave. They climb a high mountain like some guru, and they stay away from all the evil, wicked, terrible people. And people that do that must be really holy. Jesus says, no, 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 no. I made you to be with people. Look at Jesus. Jesus didn't spend his time hiding out in a cave somewhere. Jesus is out in the marketplace. He's with people all the time. In fact, he's with people so much, he's going to weddings, he's going to parties. He went to so many of these things, the religious people just hated it. The religious people thought, Jesus, you're hanging out with people all the time, you're having such a good time. Well, you know what they said about him? They said he's a glutton. They said he's a wine bibber. I mean, they were saying, you know, you eat too much, you drink too much, you laugh too much, you party too much. Jesus, you're a party animal. But Jesus knew that the essence of the Christian faith is relationship. It's being joined together. Being in a small group, being with other people is critical to your spiritual growth. Could I just tell you this? Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes here this morning, but the very reason you don't want to be in a small group is the very reason that you need to be in a small group. You're thinking, well, there might be some people there who will disagree with me. There might be some people there that are irritable. Yeah, there are, and it's you. I mean, you're irritable. You're the one who needs other people in your life to help you think differently and to help you adjust. You need some people in your life that will challenge your own self-centeredness and to teach you to think about other people more than you do. Friends, the most selfish people on earth are babies. Babies, I mean, it's me, 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 I. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. It's only when babies grow up that they begin to think about other people. But some people never grow up. Some people are stuck. It's about me. It's about my schedule, not yours. It's about my needs, not yours. It's about my problems, not yours. It's about my priorities, not yours. It's all about me. Well, friends, we need each other. And we grow up when we reach out to each other. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit. There's that word again, the habit of fellowship. Let's not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. Here's the action step. You might be able to guess this one. Join a small group. Join a small group. If you're not in a small group now, then there are people today that have green badges on that lead small groups. They'll tell you how to get in one. Talk to Jeff Davidson after the service. Go out to the hub. Come talk to me. And if you're just stubborn and can't do any of those things, come at 5 o'clock tonight to the church and join my small group. I'm serious about it. We need each other. Number 5, we grow when we expect to grow. I call this the faith factor. Jesus said in Matthew 9, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you realize that every blessing that God brings to your life is based upon according to your faith? Whoever and whatever you're believing for, God says, that's what I'm going to bless. God says, you get to choose how much blessing you have in your life. According to your faith, it will be done. So, what are you expecting to happen in your spiritual life during these next 40 days? If you're expecting nothing to happen, guess what? Nothing will happen. It won't happen at all. According to your faith, it will be done to you. I highly recommend that you go home this afternoon and set a goal. This is what I want to see God do in my life in the next 40 days. I want to be stronger in this area. I want to improve in this area. I want to see movement in this area. I'm looking for a breakthrough here. Because God doesn't bless your complaining. God doesn't, he's not moved by your moaning, by your whining. God is moved by your faith when you trust him. So when we expect to grow, we need to start this campaign with a spirit of faith. This is what I'm expecting God to do in my life. I'm expecting him to help me in this area. And the last point, number 6, we grow when we commit to grow. Growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is not automatic. You can grow older without growing up. So growth is not automatic. It's a choice. And you have to choose to do the habits. How many of you know that when you go on a diet, just deciding to go on a diet is not enough? You actually have to go on the diet. You have to do the things. You have to develop the habits. Now, I only am saying that hypothetically because I do not know what that is about. But what I want to have you think about is a year from today, how will you be any different than you are right now? Will you be stronger in your faith, or will you still be stuck in the same problems that you're stuck in right now? Will you be more mature, or will you be the way that you are right now? Because this is what you need to know. It's your choice. You decide. A year from now, some of you are going to be much better, much stronger people, much more mature, and others of you, you're going to be still stuck in the same mud. You'll still be in your diapers. Why? Because you never made a commitment to grow. And I just have to be very blunt about this. You're as close to God as you want to be. It's your choice. And if you feel like you're far away from God, guess what? God didn't move. You're as close to God as you choose to be. Well, if my husband, or well, if my wife, or if my parents, or if my brother, or if my girlfriend had only... No, stop it. You have to stop blaming other people. It's your responsibility. You're as close to God as you want to be. Growth is a choice, and some people are just not willing to make the effort or discipline themselves to the point that they'll build these habits in order to grow. So I want to go back and ask you a question. This is the title of the message today. Do you really want to grow? And if so, what are you willing to do in order to grow? Because if you're not willing to do anything in order to grow, then you're not going to grow. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else." And so when we say, "God, I need to grow, I'm just sick and tired of being a spiritual baby. I don't like being manipulated by my moods. I don't want the opinion of other people to be such a difficulty for me. I'm sick and tired of being a people pleaser. I don't like carrying all these fears and anxieties. I don't like depression. I don't like the problem I'm having with anger. I don't like all these things, God. I want to grow. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be strong and steady and stable." Well, you've got to make that choice. And so here's the action step. Commit with others to grow. You know, we grow faster when we do it with other people. Almost every successful program that involves life change is more successful when you do it with other people. Because there's accountability. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:9, "Our greatest wish and prayer is that you will become a mature Christian." Lord, that's what we need, isn't it? To become more mature. So what are you going to do during these next 6 weeks? Do nothing, then you're going to miss out what everybody else is getting, the blessing. Or are you going to step up to the plate and develop some new habits? I'm going to pray for you right now. We're not quite done, so don't like put everything away yet. Because we're going to write something down on our card in just a minute. But Lord, I want to pray for the people that are here today. They're really good people. I love them. And we've gone through lots of ups and downs together, highs and lows. We've had times of just crushing grief and wonderful times of joy. All of the wonderful stuff you've brought us through, Lord, is great, but I think our best days are yet ahead. And so, Lord, personally, me, Rob Barnes, I want to re-up. I want to commit to moving forward in my own personal life. I pray for every person here that they'll take responsibility to make spiritual growth an important step during this next year. Because we don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to miss out on any of the blessings that you've stored up for us, things that we'd like to have, but we're just not mature enough to have them yet. I pray a blessing on every person here that's going to take this next 40 days, and they're going to come into it with anticipation and expectation, and we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in our lives, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.